Grab your favorite caffeinated beverage and get cozy because you are listening to Mindful as a Mother with Paige Bruce and Lindsay Adams.
Do you remember those toys from when we were kids where you would fit the different shaped pegs into the different shaped holes?
Yeah.
That's a lot like parenting, except when you have a neurodivergent child, using traditional parenting techniques is like trying to put the round peg in the star hole.
That's exactly how I felt when I discovered that Sam was neurodivergent. I knew that traditional parenting techniques and even the approaches that I was taught in grad school, they didn't feel right in my soul to like supporting who he was as a human. And they also just weren't effective. And that's when I discovered the power of responsive parenting.
Exactly. So if you are like us and are interested in tailoring responsive parenting techniques to your neurodivergent world, check out our Parenting Your NeuroSpicy video series. You can find it in our Stand store at the link in the show notes.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for therapy or the therapeutic relationship. And the information given in this podcast is purely for educational purposes and is not intended to replace the advice of a professional.
Hello and welcome back to Mindful as a Mother. Paige here.
Lindsay here.
And it's spooky season.
You're so excited about
spooky. I love spooky.
She's wearing this. I wish I could even. Oh, which witch is that from Hocus Pocus?
It's the head bitch in charge. I mean, the witch in charge.
It's Bette Midler.
See what I did
yeah.
There.
What's her name in the thing?
Oh, what a glorious morning makes me sick. That's
I cannot.
That's literally what my. It's a quote from her. It's what my shirt says. I got black leggings, and then it's like a pumpkin orange sweater that has her face on it, and that quote. And I also have. Swamp green is the color. Nails.
Swamp green.
Swamp green.
I noticed that we recorded a podcast interview earlier this morning before we were in person. And Paige talks with her hands and I kept wanting to be like, your nails are so cute. Like my ADHD brain was like, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't. It's like that TikTok.
Yes. Well, how are they going to know? See, it's a different way to use that sound too.
Yeah, there we go.
You gotta pump up the women in your life. PSA.
Pump it up.
Public service announcement. Empower women in your life. If she looks good, tell her.
Okay. Yeah. We all love a compliment. And let's practice accepting compliments. That's something I'm working on. When people say things to me, I'm going to start saying, I accept that if I struggle with it or thank you. Because how many times are we like, even if I'm cringing inside, we have to build up our tolerance to accept compliments.
Is that some... emotional housework that you're doing?
It is emotional housework that I'm doing.
That's a boundary.
Yeah, because just like building up tolerance for negative emotions, if you have trouble feeling seen, heard, and understood, it means you likely didn't feel seen, heard, and understood at parts in your childhood or all of it. And you need to build that foundation up because your nervous system doesn't know what to do with it. And that's why you feel like awkward and you're cringing inside. Like I cringe inside.
I love it. I'm a big fan of pocket phrases, especially when you're learning new skills or what you're doing with your nervous system and your brain is you're creating new neural connections, right? To reestablish like your baseline. So then you can accept them. So pocket phrases are honestly where it's at.
Yeah. So
it's like I accept that.
I accept that.
I'm gonna let that sit with me.
Yeah. Or I just say thank you instead of when someone says you have a really cute shirt instead of deflecting me like, oh, I got it at Target for $9.99. Oh, thank you. I'm going to sit in that for a minute.
Yeah. We know we're being super extra with it because we're therapists, but you can just say thank you. That can be your pocket phrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of.
I mean, be extra if you want to be extra.
We're always extra. Also, it's spooky season. We're meeting
I don't know if you know, but it's spooky season.
Spooky season. Spooky. And tonight is the full moon. And I'm wearing my witchy shirt for my witchy shit later when we do our full moon ritual. Like it's spooky season. So
yeah.
Everything's aligning.
It's
Aries. Wait, what is it?
Yeah, it's an Aries.
Okay, Aries is rising. Anyways.
All right, we're back to talking about boundaries. My boundary is we're moving on. No, just kidding. Let's talk about our yard.
Let's talk about it.
So just to recap last episode, we talked about how your house is your boundaries with yourself, your physical and emotional boundaries, and kind of how you protect your house. You might have a security system on that thing, or, you know, you only let certain people in it. You do the get the clutter out.
Yeah.
You do the emotional housework. Now, when you invite people over, let's say you invite them into your yard and you want to have like a backyard barbecue. These are, could be friends, could be family, could be anybody. And you're not going to invite people to your yard that trash it.
Yeah.
Like if they're peeing in the bushes, you probably are going to kick them out.
Yeah. If they're ripping up your brand new landscaping.
Yeah.
Or, fun fact, one time I accidentally crashed into a mailbox and destroyed it. Was not invited back.
My husband's aunt took us boating one time. Oh God, guys. I don't know what's come over me, but I'm suddenly sharing like one of my most embarrassing moments. We rented these jet skis and I freaking crashed the jet ski into their boat. Because I'm the worst driver ever on land and in the water.
And on sea.
Yeah. And the scratch like buffed out, but my husband will not let me live it down because his uncle is like very, he's gruff. Like he's not mean, but he's gruff. And so you could tell he was
rough.
He's just like, you know, like an old ornery man. Like he's not mean, but he's just like very blunt, very straight to the point.
Oh, okay.
So he's very clearly annoyed with the fact that I crashed into his boat, which I would have been too. And it was awkward. But he still loves me. It buffed out. It's fine. What's up, Uncle Randy? Please invite me to go boating again. I have not been invited back though.
I did replace that mailbox. I did. I dug a hole, put a new one up.
Was it your mailbox or someone else's?
No, it was someone else's. And actually, when I knocked on the door to apologize, she said that because of where it's at in the road, it gets hit all the time. Like, she's had to replace so many of them and was just so grateful that I replaced it for her.
Oh, that's cute.
She said that nobody had ever done that.
Oh.
So, I am invited back to her yard.
Just not to run over her mailbox.
Yeah, not specifically.
I ran over a stop sign going backwards. Like, when I say I am, like, not a good driver, I'm not kidding you.
Okay. I love these metaphors because the people in your yard are your special friends and your loved ones. These are the people that are going to support you. And I'm reading a book right now by Colleen Hoover. Shout out, girl. Like, she's my friend.
Yeah.
She is my friend.
What book is it?
Manifesting it. It's called It Starts With Us. It's the second in the series.
Oh, did you know they're making a movie of that?
Perfect timing.
Also, trigger warning, domestic violence, but super good.
Yeah. Also, if you have childhood trauma, there's a trigger warning there too. Oh, just because it's like fresh for me. I just read it. Trauma. Anyways, she talks about in the book, shout out to her, one of the characters was like, Lindsay's not a ride or die friend, and neither am I. And I like that. And then she explained it and I was like, I love that, because she said, if you're being stupid, I'm going to tell you you're being stupid. I'm not going to join you in your stupidity, more or less.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm going to tell you what's up, like be honest and have these conversations. It's not going to change how I love you.
Is it the sister?
It's the best friend. Have you read these?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was, she said it to her best friend. Sister-in-law, ex-sister-in-law.
Yeah,
anyways,
yeah.
Too many deeds. Buy the book. Rent the book. Support your public library. So anyways.
Get a library card, kids.
The yard is where you invite friends and loved ones. And we're not, go ahead.
I just want to say, you don't have to invite people into your yard. Just because they're your family, it doesn't mean they get to be in your yard. And we're going to talk about workarounds, like having lemonade at the fence in a minute.
Yes. So these are the people that you trust to respect and appreciate the space you have created. So they may, when you ask them, they may offer opinions, right? On your yard, on your landscaping. They're going to be okay if you take them or not. They're offering feedback because you asked for it. They're going to appreciate whatever you've put into it. These are your support network, or your village, I think is another way to say it. If we're taking this, we're pulling it out of the metaphor. These are your support people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is your village.
Mm-hmm.
So she in the book, she talks about how so many of us don't know the importance of a yard or creating a yard, a metaphorical yard, until we're experiencing something very difficult in our life. And then we don't have anyone in our yard.
Mm-hmm. Especially in parenting, you need a big yard.
Yeah.
You need a big yard with like a swing set and shit.
Well, yes.
Trampoline.
Trampoline is where it's at. It's the most popular item in my physical yard and my metaphorical yard. But I think the thing that really resonated with me the most is when you experience trauma or emotional injury, I'll say that too. Sometimes you develop a hyper independence, and this is some of the emotional housework that I'm doing.
Same.
Where Same. You don't create a yard because that's what feels the most protective, but in the end, that is not what's going to serve you. Like, I was in a space where we had just moved to Idaho and I needed to work, but my children wanted to attend like these activities. And what I had found out was we live in a really small place, just so you know, really small, very family oriented. A lot of the moms had worked out carpooling. Like, I didn't create a yard. I was not willing to reach out and create those support networks, even on an acquaintance level, for myself to have a yard. And in the end, that was making it really difficult for us to like root in the community and to find people.
I feel like I've been working on that as well, specifically with my girls being in kindergarten and like wanting to do play dates. And I've like talked to my neighbors more than I ever have. And so I feel like I'm more building more of a yard, even if it's on an acquaintance level.
Yeah. That's how I feel. And I feel like everyone's going to be on an acquaintance level for me for a while because I'm rewiring my nervous system in that way. Mm-hmm. Where it's not like one rupture in the relationship or a small rupture, even on like my perception of it is a rupture. And then there is nothing there. Like, I'm burning the bridge down. Like, mm-hmm. I'm setting the fence on fire. I'm working on it. So right now we're all at acquaintance levels, but it's housework that I'm doing mm-hmm. to actively create a yard and find emotional growth, health, and healing. Just made that
yo,
up.
Yeah.
But what's up? So when you create your yard, create a space that allows for joy, rest, recreation, and when necessary, hard work. And we're inviting people into the space that you trust to care for you and who you want to support you. They should have your best interests in mind and be honest with yourself about your needs and expectations. And again, this concept of fluidity, that they can change based on where you're at in stage of life and from day to day. Mm-hmm. She mentions how it's important to only invite trusted people to join you. But when you create your yard, when you decide you want a yard, you get to define what your boundaries look like and what feels most comfortable for you. And you get to express the expectations on like how your yard should be treated.
Love it. What are some examples of that?
I was about to ask you, how would you define that?
Well, I asked you first. I think for me, it's like people that I'm trying to like put it in towards trust enough or feel safe with enough to be vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. And there's maybe like different levels of that, but in my yard and how, and a lot of it has to do with maybe how they respond to my vulnerability.
Okay, tell me more.
Like, okay, there's some friends, if I'm having like a really shitty day, I can text them and I know that they'll be like supportive and see me and hear me and hold space for me. And then there's some people that are very like, oh, that sucks.
Okay.
Or they aren't well versed in holding space for emotions.
Yeah.
Or maybe they want to give me advice.
Yeah, solve the problem.
Yeah.
So when I was thinking about it, it was very similar because I think I'm new in the yard construction process. Keep in mind, I'm in my 30s. So it's okay to build your house whenever you do it.
Yeah.
And I'm still feeling happy.
Sorry.
Whoa, bless you.
Allergies.
It takes time and consistency and honestly vulnerability to figure out what your boundaries are with that and where you're at with that. And I think the more authentically I live, the clearer that becomes. Uh-huh. But I think really, because I'm in this exploratory process of creating a village, uh-huh. I am in this place where I invite people into my yard with boundaries and expectations, right? And then if they are habitually in violation of them, then now I know they're not my yard people.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm like vetting the process. I don't have people necessarily that are already in my yard. Some I do, like maybe two or three.
It's a dog.
It's loyal. But that's kind of how I'm doing it, where it's things that I'm enforcing, and I'm enforcing it because that's what I need for me and my well-being. Uh-huh. And then if that's not respected or consistently, and it's not like a one and done, which is also a lot of growth for me, it's like there's consistency in the violation of it, then I know they're not my yard people and I create distance.
Yeah. So what do we do if they're not our yard people?
That's a great question.
We build a fence. I don't know why I'm so into the voice inflection today.
Like into the fence?
Yeah, I'm into the fence. Did we have more to talk about with the yard? You're holding the book, so I'm just...
I really like that it says yard boundaries don't require apology or justification.
Love! Yeah, we don't have to justify or apologize for our yard boundaries. Yeah. Who's in our yard and who's not in our yard.
Yeah. It all depends on what we want.
And people don't deserve to be in our yard just because we're related to them by blood.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I really liked that part of it. And then it talks about how when somebody defies or mocks your boundaries or makes you feel stupid for having them, that's how you know they're not a healthy yard person for you. Uh-huh. Like if they're trying to guilt you into it anyways, or they're pushing those boundaries, which... I am familiar with what that feels like, but I don't know how to verbally describe it. I have a lot of anxiety when that happens because I'm naturally, I'm wired as a people pleaser, uh-huh. which is part of the housework that I'm doing, uh-huh. right? So when people are pushing back, I want to be like, yeah, that's fine. Come in, have a house party in my yard.
Well, it's the person that, think of the person that you're afraid to set the boundary with, because there are people in my life where the relationship is naturally safe enough that I know that I'm going to use canceling or like bailing on plans. If I were to text someone, okay, we're really good at this. If I were to text you and be like, I just don't have the energy to like do our meeting. We do this all the time. Or I feel like I really need a nap today. Like, and the other person will always be like, that's cool. Trust yourself. Or I'm in a hermit mode, we call it. Mm-hmm. I'm in hermit mode. Trust yourself. Stay in hermit mode. What can I pick up for you? How can I support you? Like, that's how our business relationship works, right? Mm-hmm. But then there are people in my life who, if I like made a commitment or obligation to them and I am not feeling it, I will either push myself to do it because I don't want to deal with the conflict, or I am afraid to say like, hey, I don't have the energy for this.
Yeah. Okay. So really your internal response, that self-awareness skill you've been building, is how you know whether or not someone's a yard person for you.
Yeah. It's like if I feel comfortable saying to, like, if I can text them and be like, hey, I'm really just not feeling it today, and I feel totally comfortable in that, then I know that they are a yard person for me.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. I think, too, everyone should know that's listening. Self-awareness is a skill that's built with time. It takes a lot to attune to yourself in that way. So with practice, like testing it out, I feel like a bubble boy. I'm like, do you come through the membrane?
Yeah. Like experiment with how it feels, right? Like, and trust your body with that. I feel like we spend our entire life overriding our body signals about what's right and wrong, to the point, and even hunger, because we're so messed up with food, like to the point where it takes a lot to get back in tune with that.
Yes, it does.
And honestly, what that feels like for you.
And if you've never had the opportunity to be in tune with it, like you were gaslit or invalidated or not able to express, which I think a lot of us that are parents now experience that young. So it's really being able to tune in and build that muscle. Mm-hmm. All these metaphors.
So many muscles.
Go back and listen to the episode on metaphors. It's like months ago, but it's also good. Okay. So here's the part that feels intimidating to me. She says, when your yard is vandalized, when somebody's acting up in your yard, it must be dealt with.
Why am I thinking graffiti? Period. My mind went to graffiti, and I don't know what that says about.
They wrote asshole all over your garage.
Asshole. I love it. I mean, it's probably true.
That's what she says. Once your boundaries are clear and in place, you're comfortable with at least some of what they are. Again, they're fluid. If somebody is not respecting them, you must respond. And that's where the yard work is hard.
Yeah, that's where, like, I'm rocking in the corner over a strongly worded text.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even strongly worded.
It's not. I was just about to say that.
It's not even strongly
it's
worded.
Like it's direct, just, but it's not unkind, like, in any way.
Yeah, and I'm, like, having a freaking panic attack.
So she kind of walks us through how to practice this. So I'm just going to do that for all of us out here in the yard experimenting. Okay.
I hate yard work, guys. This is tracking for me.
Yeah.
I hate
yard work and metaphorically.
Metaphorical yard work.
But she says, sometimes we kick people out of our yard prematurely with the mistaken belief that there's no other option. And that's me 100%. Like, if there is an infraction, then that's it. We're done, right? Like, that's it. Can't ever trust you again.
Thing, yeah. From childhood. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. So she said the first option is to talk about the infraction with the person. I feel like it should be the last resort.
Dude, I'm having real anxiety right now. Wait, I'm supposed to have a conversation with someone.
Yeah, that's your first line of defense. The first thing you do.
No. No. Also, I need to have a hard conversation with someone in my life, and I've been avoiding it. And I, like, told Paige, I talked about it with Tim. Now I'm going to talk about it with Paige at dinner. And to the point where I know I need to have this conversation and I'm going to make myself do it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole left side of my body is tense to the point where I'm having jaw pain.
Yeah.
Because
your jaw.
I hate yard work.
And it's funny to me that this is the first line of defense. Like, the first thing you should do is have a conversation. Logically, I know that. Emotionally, absolutely not.
Okay, what's the next line of defense?
The next line of defense is exploring your options before kicking them out. So you talk to them first, and then you decide what it looks like from there.
Okay, cool.
So make sure you've done your own work before you give up on others, is what she says.
I mean, that makes sense, because a lot of people
logically,
move into
yes.
hyper.
Emotionally, no.
Yeah, no, I'm going to let them cross that boundary 3 more times before I get the balls, or for lack of a better word, to have the actual conversation. Or I'm just going to hope it works itself out.
Okay, here's where I feel personally attacked. Are you ready?
No.
This episode is so triggering.
I'm triggered. We gotta put a trigger warning on this.
Okay. Listen, this is the worst part.
Ready?
If the thought of removing people from your yard causes you fear, it's likely you need to manage your reaction to their emotional response.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Attacked. Also, how funny is it that for however many hours a week I do therapy, I sit and tell people to set boundaries. And then I'm over here like, I'd rather not.
We are modeling how hard this is.
It is hard.
Because we're in it. That's why we know. It's like, I know what we should do, but girl, this is tough.
Like, yeah, I'm just going to avoid it for a little longer.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I need to, yeah.
Right.
That's what it is I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want anyone to be mad at me. Oh, God forbid someone doesn't like me.
Right?
Which, even why start an online business when you're afraid of people not liking you?
Amen to that.
Who the hell
was I? That was a poor choice on our side. I send Zane these memes all the time that's like, hey, babe, I noticed that you put your shoes on really angry this morning. Do you still love me? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I noticed when you put your shoes on
you said
morning,
K instead like, of really, okay.
Yes. Like, why are you typing in all capitals?
You mad at me?
Are you never coming back? Okay, so those are the same things. But There's hope. There's a couple things in here that I really liked and I'm going to use to incorporate in my yard work.
Great. So excited.
Childhood trauma and injuries affect how we approach others when our boundaries are violated. Yes. Yeah. You and I are living examples of this on the podcast right now. But this is what I like. However, you were helpless as a child during those events where your boundaries were violated.
Yes.
You are no longer helpless as an adult.
Yeah.
You have power and options.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that kind of feels good. But then I really liked where she said, nobody has the right to disrespect your space, destroy your bushes, or ruin your garden. And I was like, yeah, that's right, they don't. Like, that felt even more empowering.
Okay.
So then I was like, okay, now when I need to have these yard work conversations, I'm going to envision this person ripping my petunias. Just ripping them out of the ground. Like a big root ball. Like, look at perennial. Somebody drove a car through your fence. Like, I'm going to visualize this. Or the one that gets me is people, because we don't have a fence in our front yard, like my actual house, people let their dogs come in and poop like while I'm watching and then don't clean it up. And I live somewhere that's so cold that when they do it in the winter, it freezes. It is poopsicle and it doesn't come out again till spring.
Poopsicle.
I'm like, you just let your dog shit in my garden.
I like that one. I'll be like, don't let your dog shit in my garden.
Yeah, or cats, because cats love garden beds.
Yeah.
And then you can't really eat a lot of the produce, and it's not organic, because there's feces.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So visualizing somebody destroying my yard, I think, is going to help me do the yard work.
Okay.
Of, like, having these conversations.
Okay.
Okay. You going to do that?
Yeah. I'm going to imagine someone driving a car through my fence.
Okay, so before moving on, I want you guys to visualize your yard. Describe what it looks like. And you can do this to yourself. What have you intentionally designed it for? How are you improving it? Who's in it? How do you know the right people are there? What are your yard rules? And are there any difficult conversations you need to have? Any yard work that needs done now?
Yep.
So now we're moving on to Lindsay's favorite part. The fence. Now I think I know why it's her
because I don't want to have a conversation. I just want to put the fence up.
The fence. Tell us about your fence, Lindsay.
It's a brick wall. No, just kidding. My favorite concept of the fence is that, so the fence are people that are like not in our yard, but we still maybe have to interact with them or their acquaintances or whatever. And it doesn't mean that we don't have any sort of relationship with them, but she uses, I think, the example in the book of you're going to like go to the fence and have lemonade with someone.
Yeah.
But that you like don't invite them in your yard.
And yeah, I loved that. They don't have to be up in your space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we transfer it to relationships, she's saying like, when I'm offended, if you're my yard person, I'm going to have a conversation with you about how I'm feeling and that it hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
If you're a fence person, I'm not going to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Like there's a fence there.
Maybe I just want to keep everyone in
like everyone's a fence.
You're all a fence. Except for Tim. Poor Tim's in my yard.
And when they're your yard people, they would understand and make an effort to get to know that because they want to understand you and they do understand and support you. Fence people do not. So there's no point. These fence people, maybe these are across the street people, are the trolls on social media.
Yeah, Facebook's the worst. Also, I think this is a good indicator of like if you're trying to decide if someone is a yard person or a fence person, I want you to think about what their reaction would likely be to an intense conversation. About your boundaries. If you don't know, then you're probably going to have to like experiment with it. But if you know for sure you've had conversations in the past, maybe they are a fence person because you know that it's not worth your time. You know those people you've talked to over and over and over again and it's just not worth your time.
Yes.
Those are fence people.
Those are fence people. Okay. Isla, she says, it is not rude to ignore unwanted texts or phone calls. It is okay to avoid personal questions from nosy or even uninterested coworkers. You're not obligated to the people outside of your friends requesting or pushing for closer access.
I love that.
And it's, so it's, the fence is probably your firmest boundary.
Yeah. And some people have a brick wall. Some people have a white picket fence. Some people have
chicken wire. Mine's a white picket fence.
Yeah, I feel like that's what mine is. But then I feel like there's portions where it's like a brick wall. Like my yard might be
cement block.
yes, cement block. Because there's certain people that need more than a picket fence.
Yes, that's true. And there, those are the back alley ones. So when I lived in Arizona, our
what the hell is happening?
When I lived in Arizona, our backyard was surrounded by like an 8-foot cinder block wall. Like those are the fences.
Yeah.
So that reminds me, because there was an alley back behind our house and the walls were so high because a lot of the homeless people or other people maybe in the thick of their addiction would like use the alleyways and stuff because, you know, Phoenix is Phoenix.
Yeah. I'm going to Phoenix next weekend.
So Phoenix.
I'll be in a back alley next weekend. No,
so those are your back alley people.
Yeah.
Like you have an 8, it's not a 6-foot privacy fence or like a chain link that you can see through. It's an 8-foot cinder block fence with no alley access.
Like you're not getting in here.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to use my water.
Yeah.
To wash your hands. Anyways. So she says that this, just because you have firm boundaries and you continue to hold them, does not mean you're angry with them or that you can't interact with them. Mm-hmm. If that's what you choose, it means you interact, but then there's space for rest and recovery in between.
Support your nervous system, kids.
And you can show love and appreciation and care for people on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
But there's a reason not everyone is invited into
that's my yard. Favorite thing. Like you can do nice things. You can love and support people outside of your yard. But that doesn't mean you have to let them in the damn yard.
Yes. And I love this too because somebody we love, Hillary Kruger, she's a marketing specialist.
Yeah, yeah.
Talks about how when you share stories on social media or when you're doing marketing, you share from your scars, not your wounds.
Yeah.
Right? And this is what reminds me of that. Fence people get my scars.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yard people get my wounds.
Yeah. Like you're still bleeding. I still need stitches.
Yeah, like I am recovering from a cesarean. Getting some vitamin D on the stoop. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Nobody can come here.
No one can come here.
Okay. So what does your fence look like? Do you have the right kind? How can others identify it as a fence? Because that's very important. She says that we need to be able to, other people need to be able to identify what they are. So they need to be able to be communicated in some way. And how do you know when you can let someone into your yard or when you need to leave them outside of the fence? So, don't let boundary violations slide, y'all, even though it's really hard to do yard work.
Have those tough conversations. You've got this. I'm going to challenge you to have your tough conversation, and I'm going to have mine.
And then shoot us a DM and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, let us know how your tough conversation went. Support your nervous system before and after. That is what I'll be doing.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for coming to Mindful as a Mother podcast. If you'd like more of us and Mindful as a Mother, you can find Paige at Instagram at Parenting with Paige and Lindsay at Linz_AdamsLCSW. Find us on TikTok, Instagram, and in our Facebook group, Creating Community and Smashing Parental Stigma, Embracing Mindful Motherhood and Positive Parenting. Thanks so much and see you next time.